It's pain to be ignorant.
What happens when a racetrack gets flooded?
They pull the plugs out.
Pay the man $8.
It's pain to be ignorant.
What happens when a wife makes bad coffee?
Her husband has grounds for divorce.
Pay the man $9 because...
It's pain to be ignorant. Here he is, the star of our show, Mr. Tom Howard.
And good evening, folks. It's 9 o'clock, which means it's time for that quiz program that makes you wonder if education is necessary. We have a board of experts who are so dumb they think a sponsor is the husband of a spinster. First, we have the celebrated author, Mr. High McNaughton, who's just written a book entitled They Were Married by Candlelight, but it only lasted a week. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
Well, thank you. I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
Oh, I imagine.
It's about a stork.
A stork.
The stork is one of the mystics and inhabits a number of districts. It doesn't yield plumes or sing any tunes, but it helps out the vital statistics.
Very likely. I like that very much.
I have more.
But never mind. That was enough. Next, we have a woman who goes around lifting up manhole covers, expecting to find a man. A woman who reminds you of a switchboard when she walks, all lines are busy. Here she is, Miss Lulu McConnell.
I'm a shelly today, Miss Howard.
You are?
Yeah, I went to a hardware store to buy some pots and pans.
Uh-huh.
I said to the man, I see your pans are cheaper than they were yesterday.
Yeah.
He said, yep. You caught me with my pants down today.
Next, we have a man who was so unpopular, even a revolving door won't go around with him. A man who, when he was 3 years old, his father took him down to the corner saloon and asked the bartender to put a head on him. Here he is, Mr. George Shelton.
You know, I was walking down the street today, Mr. Howard, and I found a half a dollar.
Oh, you found a half a dollar.
Yeah, as soon as I picked it up, some guy came up to me and said, hey, that's my half a dollar.
Well, that's been done.
I said, oh, yeah, who are you?
I see.
Well, he said, my name is on it.
I said,
what is your name? He said, Chief T. Euro.
On his hat,
you know, and I turned the hat down over, and sure enough, there was his name. Wow. He Pluribus Nunes.
I see. So you lost the half dollar.
No, I still... Yeah, that's right, I lost it.
Well, you should have lost that gag, too. Nice to know. Those are the experts, folks, so we get right on with the first question while you're looking around and choosing your nearest sector. Here's the question. Let's see if we can answer it. How many acres in a 50-acre farm?
Mr. Howard, I don't want to ask you to repeat the question.
I thank you for that.
But I'm afraid, old boy, I'll have to.
I see. How many acres in a 50-acre farm?
Where is the farm, Mr. Howard?
I don't know.
Who owns it?
I don't know.
What kind of a farm is it?
I don't know.
That's what I like. Short, stupid answers.
Well, this is neither here nor there.
No? Well, where is it?
Somebody lose something?
Yeah, Mr. McGarden lost his hand.
Well, don't worry. He looks better without it.
All right, Mr. Shelton, your Uncle Webfoot has a farm.
Oh, sure. In the beginning of the summer, he bought a pig for $30.
Yeah.
Last week, he sold it. How much do you think he made on it?
Well, what did he sell it for?
It smelt bad around the house.
Ah, great.
I was out on the farm last weekend. I saw a bunch of chicks just being hatched.
Oh, isn't it wonderful, Miss McConnell, the way those little chicks get out of the shells?
It's more wonderful how they get in them.
You get back to the question. How many acres in a 50-acre farm? You say your uncle has a farm, Mr. Shelton.
Yeah, I was up there last week, and while I was up there, he sent his milking machine back to the people he bought it from.
He's not going to use the milking machine anymore?
No, he decided to take things in his own hands.
He must be a jerk. Let's get on.
You know, speaking about farms, I have a beautiful dog up on my farm. Yeah, he's a lap dog.
What breed of dog is he?
He's a St. Bernard.
A St. Bernard? A lap dog?
Rather. I sit on his lap all the time.
Ah, please.
His name is Joey.
Never mind. Mr. McGarden, why don't you rent yourself a padded cell?
I'd love to, Mr. Howard. When is your Lisa?
All right. Will you get back to the question, how many acres in a 50-acre farm? Mr. McNaughton.
Yes.
You said you used to live on a farm.
I certainly did, Mr. Howard. It belonged to my brother-in-law.
Your brother-in-law.
And the last time I was up there, he told me he'd crossed a chicken with a parrot.
He crossed a chicken with a parrot?
Yes. Now when the chicken lays an egg, she hollers, come and get it.
Very amusing.
The only thing I didn't like about a farm was getting up so early. Everyone had to get up early to do their chores.
What's yours?
I have a short beer. What's yours?
What's yours? It's worse. When you get back to the question.
You know, I remember distinctly up on this farm, we had a cow that always had the hiccups.
Well, couldn't you stop it?
Well, we didn't even try, old boy. No. See, every time it would hiccup, it would churn its own butter.
Churn its own butter.
You know, my Uncle Westwood has a lot of cows, and he does all his own milking. He milks 40 cows a day.
That's a lot of cows.
Yeah. You know, when he shakes hands with you now, he shakes one finger at a time.
One finger. What's a hat again?
Well, me and my old man had a farm once. We had 400 chickens, and they all laid eggs but one.
What was the matter with that one?
Oh, he was a head man.
He was a head man.
He kept the books.
He kept the books, right there.
By the way, did you read about the new medicine they have for cows?
No, Mr. McNaughton, I'm not interested in any cow medicine.
What kind of medicine, Mr. McNaughton?
Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Sheldon, suppose a cow gets his tail cut off. Yeah. You just rub some of this medicine on the old stump, and in 3 weeks, the cow has grown another tail.
That's marvelous.
What do you mean it's marvelous? That's nothing at all. My Uncle Westwood has some stuff up on his farm. If a cow cuts its tail off, you rub it on the old tail, and in 2 weeks, the old tail grows a new cow.
That's all right. Hey, that's a lot of bull if I ever heard it. Mr. Stark, will you come in here or rather Thomas play something while I ring down a few things, will you? At this time, we usually invite a guest from our studio audience to take part in the program. Have we got such a person this evening, Mr. Stark?
Well, we certainly have, Mr. Howard, a gentleman, and his name is Mr. Edward Doyle.
Well, that's swell. How do you do, Mr. Doyle? It's nice to have you with us. How are you feeling this evening?
Very well, thank you.
We're very glad to hear that. Where are you from, would you care to tell us?
Waterbury, Connecticut.
Oh, Waterbury, Connecticut. Well, that's swell.
Waterbury, Connecticut.
Waterbury, Connecticut.
Well, put a clam in my mouth and call me Chowder.
I see.
I used to work in that town.
You did. You're a jerk.
No, I was a baseball umpire on a chicken farm.
You
were a baseball umpire on a chicken farm. I called the foul.
All right, will you stop it? I'm real sorry for the interruptions, Mr. Doyle. I should warn you, pay no attention to what you hear on this program. Tell me something, how do you happen to be in New York this evening?
Oh, on a vacation.
Oh, on a vacation? My goodness. All our out-of-towners lately seem to be going on vacations. They all come to New York. You know, New York is getting to be a great vacation center. How are you having a nice time?
Very nice, thank you.
Good. You say you are from Waterbury.
Waterbury?
They make a lot of watches out there, don't they?
That's right.
Yeah, I thought that was the watch city. Are you married, Mr. Doyle?
Oh, yes.
What did he say?
He said he was married.
He's married, dear.
Well, that's that.
All right.
Anybody know how the Dodgers made out?
All right, play.
They lost.
You're not interested because the gentleman is married, are you? Is your wife with you, Mr. Doyle?
Yes, she is, in the audience.
She's in the audience. Well, we're glad to have her with us, too.
Oh, here we are, Mr. Doyle. Yes, how do you do? Greetings. Greetings from Waterbury, yes. You know, last week I was invited down to Atlantic City to judge a beauty contest.
You were?
Did you take your wife with you?
Miss McConnell, you never take a ham sandwich to a banquet.
Tell me, Mr. Doyle, how long have you been married?
40 years.
40 years. Well, good for you. You don't look any the worse of 40 years wear and tear. Any family?
No.
No family?
No family.
Oh, well, I see. Well, you didn't have much trouble from that respect then, did you?
No.
All by yourself. Well, I tell you, a family is nice to have, but they are really a lot of care and a lot of worry. How long since you've been in New York? Have you been here many times before?
Oh, mostly every year.
Oh, every
five
year.
Or six times.
Five or six times. Mm-hmm. Then you know the town quite well.
Oh, yes.
Why does your wife do this? Does she have any outside interests, or does she just tend to the house?
Tend to the house.
Well, that's a full-part job, I'm sure. Well, it's been very nice to have you with us here,
Mr. Yeah, it sure has.
Yeah.
Well, what's your first name, honey?
Eddie.
Eddie. Oh, that's a nice name, isn't it?
Eddie.
Yes, he's a charming gentleman, don't you think? He's so dignified and nice and everything.
All right.
He's
Go ahead. I like your activity.
Oh, Eddie, you just call me taxicab.
Yeah.
I'll pick you up.
Yeah, you are. Yes, Your back seat needs upholstery, Miss McConnell. You're down. You'll fall off there, and then you'll never get to the back there. Just keep seated, please. We have a hard enough time getting you up there every night, Miss McConnell, so don't fall off. Before you go, Mr. Doyle, would you reach into the dunce cap that Mr. Stark is holding and pick out a question for us, if you don't mind? And when you get one, would you be good enough to read it right into our microphone, please?
What kind of seasoning is kept in a salt cellar?
Thank you. What kind of seasoning is kept in a salt cellar?
Did you say something about salt, Mr. Howard?
Yes, I did.
Did you know I used to sell salt?
Really?
Yeah.
I was a salt cellar.
Shake.
Please stop these corny gags. Cut out, will you? Please try. Let us try and stay on the air. This series is over. Do you use salt at home, Miss McConnell?
Certainly I use salt. Everybody uses salt.
I see.
Only yesterday I had a stew on the stove.
What was your old man doing on the stove?
He was singing Home on the Range.
Yeah. Okay. Please, Miss McConnell, you said you used salt.
I know I did. I'm not ashamed of it.
I see.
I never used to hide in my life. I certainly am.
Okay.
I've always been a lady.
Okay.
I was
all right, please. All right, will you shut up? I only asked if you used salt, that's all.
How did I use it?
All right, you used salt.
Yes.
What are you keeping it?
I keep it in the pantry.
I know you keep it in the pantry, but don't you keep it in a shaker, a cellar, a salt cellar?
Certainly not. My pantry's not in the cellar.
Your pantry's not.
That cellar's no place to keep salt.
I see.
It's too damp.
All right.
Now, Mr. Dummy, I have ants in my pantry.
Nobody asked you, Mr. Dummy. Nobody asked you.
I merely said I had ants in my pantry.
You have bats in your belt ring, too, Mr. McGaughan. Mr. Shell, let me ask you something.
All right, go ahead, but I'm warning you. I'm going to use my own answers.
I expect that. Do you like tomatoes?
Oh, I love tomatoes.
I do.
I don't know if anything I like better than tomatoes.
Okay.
Unless it's more tomatoes than that. Do you like tomatoes, Mr. McDonald?
I sure do, boy. I'm mad about
it. Wait a minute. Please. Mr. Sheldon, when you're eating tomatoes, what do you shake on them?
Pepper. I love pepper on my tomatoes.
I see. Pepper.
You know, we use pepper in our house, you know. But we use it in the summer to catch flies.
You use pepper to catch flies?
Yes.
What kind of pepper?
Fly pepper.
I'm
incorrigible
tonight.
It's terrible. Never mind. Mr. McNaughton, if you had another brain, you'd have one. Mr. Sheldon, you said you shake pepper on your tomatoes.
That's right.
What do you use to shake the pepper on the tomatoes with?
My hand, my right hand.
I know that, but what's in your right hand?
The pepper.
You mean you take a handful of pepper and throw it at the tomatoes?
Well, you don't think I take a handful of tomatoes and throw it at the pepper?
Please. Isn't this pepper in some sort of a dish or a bottle?
Well, sure, it's in a shaker, a pepper shaker.
Now we're getting someplace. Oh. Now, besides the pepper shaker, there's another little bottle.
Uh-huh.
What's in that?
Olive oil.
You would say olive oil.
Well, what do you want me to say? Do you want me to tell a lie?
No.
Do you want me to poison myself?
I wish you'd strangle yourself.
There's no future in that, Mr.
Hart. All right. Mr. Shouts, isn't there any salt on the paper?
Well, sure, but I never use it.
You never use salt?
No, I can't get it out of those little holes in the top of the bottle.
I see. What do you call that little bottle?
Mr. Hart, if I told you what I call that little bottle, we'd be thrown off the air.
Let's forget the whole dirty mess. Mr. Stark, we'll just sit there and give our guest $24.80 for helping us out. And thank you, Mr. Doyle, for being with us.
Indeed I will, Mr. Howard. Thank you, Mr. Doyle. Good luck to you, sir, and to Waterbury, Connecticut.
All right. And now, while we get away from the strain of these terrible gags, let's sit back and listen to our Townsman Quartet by the thing of special arrangement of Cool Water.
All day I face the barren waste without the taste of water. Cool water.
Water.
Old Dan and I with roast and dry and soul to cry.
listen to Dan. He's a devil, not a man, and he spreads the burning sand with water.
Water. Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water runs free and it's waiting there for me and you? Sam's feet are sore, he's yearning for just one thing more than water. Ooh, water.
Like me, I guess he likes to wreck, but there's no quest for water.
Dan, don't you listen to him, Dan. He's a devil, not a man, and he spreads burning sand with water.
Water. Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and it's waiting there for me and you?
Water.
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 Very charming lady, Mr. Howard. I know you'll be happy to meet her. Her name is Mrs. George Sackett, Jr.
Well, that's very nice. We're very glad to have you with us, Mr. Sackett. How are you this afternoon, or this evening, rather? I'm a little late. Don't mind me. How are you feeling?
Fine, thank you.
Well, we're very glad to hear that. Where are you from, would you care to tell us?
New Hyde Park, Long Island.
New Hyde Park, Long Island. All right, great. You're not nervous, are you?
A little.
Well, don't be nervous. There's nothing to be nervous about. We have the experts all strapped in their chairs. You don't have to be nervous.
Nothing to be nervous about.
Not at all. We've just fed them, so there's nothing to be nervous about, I'm sure.
Come over here and sit by me, Mrs. Sackett.
Please, Mr. McNaughton. Tell me something, Mr. McNaughton. When did you first start liking every girl you see?
When I found out they weren't boys.
I see. Don't let them upset you, Miss... what is it? Oh, Sackett. Miss Sackett, I see. Oh, Mrs. Sackett. What?
That's right.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, I see. I'm not making the young lady
Junior,
single all of a sudden. Junior. I see. Thank you.
You know, I had a date with a lovely girl last night, Miss Todd. Yeah. That reminds me of a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I took her to dinner.
You did?
After dinner, I took her to the theater.
Uh-huh.
After the theater, I took her to the Star Club.
Uh-huh.
And after the Star Club, I called her, packed a cab, and I took her home.
You did?
Did you say good night?
No, I thought I did enough for her.
Oh, yeah, you did. That's very good. Tell me, Mr. Sackett, what do you work at? Or do you work or you just stay home? What do you
I'm
work?
A homemaker.
You what?
Homemaker.
Oh, a homemaker. A housewife.
That's
right.
Well, that's you make homes. That's nice. I mean, you build them?
No, please, Mr. She's a housewife, to make it more.
She makes them and he wrecks them.
I see. Are you married? And then you are married, Mrs. I see.
Yeah. I thought she was married. Yeah,
you thought she was married?
I thought she was worried.
Huh?
I thought she looked worried.
Oh, is that what makes you think she was married?
Yeah,
because she looks
naturally.
Worried. Please, don't figure everybody like yourself. There's lots of people have a very, very happy married life. They're not always fighting with their old man like you are.
Oh, hasn't everybody got an old man like that guy? Right.
Well, let's get on here. When are you going to get married, Mr. Sheldon?
Oh, I've got lots of time. Women are a dime a dozen.
Women are a dime a dozen?
Yeah.
Oh, and I've been buying jelly beans.
Will you both stop interrupting? I might ask you another thing, Mrs. Sackett. Have you heard the program before?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you listen to it down home.
That's right.
Well, you have a lot of courage, I must say.
Speaking about dates, Mr. Howard, I had a blind date the other night. What a girl.
You did?
What a girl. She had three teeth missing, a bald spot on the back of her head, and a mustache.
Yes.
You know, Mr. Howard, in spite of all that, she didn't appeal to me.
Ah, please, that's terrible. I'm not going to keep you being bored any longer, Mr. Sackett, but before you go, I'd love to have you reach into the cap that Mr. Stark has and pick out a question for us. When you get the question, would you kindly read it right into our microphone, please?
Where in Massachusetts was the Boston Tea Party?
Thank you. Did you hear the question? Where in Massachusetts was the Boston Tea Party?
Who's giving the party, Mr. Howard?
Mr. McCartney, you're an idiot.
Mr. Howard, I don't think you know what you're saying.
You're not only an idiot, you're an imbecile.
Now you're talking.
All right. McConnell, do you know anything about the Boston Tea Party?
She ordered. She brought the lemons.
She brought... Do you know anything about the Boston Tea Party, Miss McConnell?
No, Mr. Howard, I wasn't invited.
You wasn't invited, I see.
And I never go to parties unless I'm invited.
All right, thank you.
And one thing about me, I know my place.
Okay.
I know just what's what.
All right, you should have stayed in your place. Let's get on here. Mr. Sheldon, do you know where in Massachusetts was the Boston Tea Party?
Sure I know.
Well, why did you say so?
Well, you didn't ask me.
Well, what town is it?
Springfield.
Springfield. How do you arrive at Springfield?
You get on the train at Grand Central Station and Dr. Hollister. Springfield.
All right. Thank you.
Now, there's another way.
I don't want to hear the other way. Mr. Sheldon, why must you act like a moron?
Who's acting?
Who's acting? I see what you're saying. Now, let's get back to the question. It's about a city in Massachusetts.
No, Mr. Howard. There's a town in Massachusetts named after you.
Town in Massachusetts named after me?
Yep.
What's the name of it?
Marblehead.
Marblehead.
Ah, that was good, Mr. McConnell. That was good.
I'm glad you're here.
Put the old buzzard in his place.
Yeah. There's a town in Maine named after you, Miss McConnell.
There's a town in Maine named after Miss McConnell.
What That's
is it?
Right.
What is it?
Moosehead. Where in Massachusetts was the Boston Tea Party?
I love tea. I sure enjoy my cup of tea.
Well, you don't have to keep carrying the bags under your eyes all the time.
I was at a tea party down Long Island last week. Yeah. We drank tea out of doors.
You drank tea out of doors? Mm. Oh, my word, in England, they drink it out of cups.
will you join me in a cup of tea, Mr. McNaughton?
Join you in a cup of tea? Yeah. Oh, you think we'll have room? I mean, besides, I don't like tea.
Why don't you like tea?
The tea bag gets stuck in my throat.
What? What are you laughing at, Mr. McCartney?
Marblehead.
Marblehead. Let's get on with the question.
You know, I have a nice dress. I wear the tees.
The tees who?
Never mind.
I'll never forget the party I attended the last time I was in England. I was at Buckingham Palace.
You were at Buckingham Palace.
Oh, what a ritzy affair. Yeah. When Lord Brentwood arrived, the page said, "Your Lordship." And when Lady Kenworth entered, the page said, "Your Ladyship."
What'd the page say when you entered?
"Your Battleship." Answer the question, please, before I get the tantrum.
What does he mean, tantrum?
Oh, tantrum is... That's a bicycle for two people.
Now, that's tandem.
Oh, no, I beg to differ, Mr. Howard. A tandem is when people talk about nothing in particular.
No, that's random. Talking at random.
What are you talking about? Random is what kidnappers ask for.
That's ransom.
No. A ransom is what people ride in through Central Park.
Please, Mr. McNaughton, that's handsome. An old-fashioned vehicle with long, skinny shafts, bulky shape, and a broad seat in the back.
Now we're back to Miss McConnell.
All right.
It pays to be ignorant is great, eh?
Terrific!
It's marvelous!
Wait a minute! Hold it! What is this?
Why, this is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service. Thank you.